Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. Today I have with us Marissa Calley. She is a trailblazing AI enhanced event professional and digital marketing expert. With over two decades of experience, Marissa has been transforming the way events have been trailblazing the new industry with AI through live streaming, tech, and creativity. She empowers businesses to rethink their events, whether it's in summits, keynotes, or interactive sessions. By leveraging AI-driven productivity tools, Marissa's also on the board of Murfreesboro Tech Council and Rutherford Cable, and the three-time contributing author to 100 Live Streaming and Digital Media Prediction Series. Let's dive into Marissa and how she's reshaping the future of events and digital marketing experiences. Welcome to the show, Marissa. Thank you for your assistance in that, Murfreesboro. Yeah, no. I got it now. I didn't have it then.
Yeah, it's funny. We call it nicknamed the borough.
The borough.
If you're local, you say the borough, but the borough can be anything, really,
for
depending
sure.
on where you're tuning in from.
100%. Next time I'm going to do it where at least I have, what do they call it, where you write out what you think it sounds like, just so I don't have to get tongue twisted. But welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you here. I love all things AI. I was just on a podcast recently with a tech guy. And while we touched on AI, he was kind of a little apprehensive about it. So I'm really excited to dive into what we know as the future of tech, which is AI.
Yes.
And you've been kind of pioneering this and integrating AI into the events industry. I want to know what inspired you to blend the two and how did you come about that?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people will think, okay, well, what tool are you using to like make an event better? And like really what I'm using AI for, and what I like to talk to people about is to be more efficient in their workday. So this is not directly related to an event that's executed. It's more so, okay, how can I utilize AI to simplify like my meetings, right? Like something very simple as like us having a conversation and transcribing it.
Yes.
You and I are present, looking at each other, engaging with each other. And not focused on, oh my gosh, I have to write that note. Oh yeah, I remember that thing. And there's tools for that, like wearables, like when you're on site at an event, or tools when you're in person, like sitting down, having a meeting, and also when we're doing virtual. So those are three different just examples of how I bring me as a professional utilizing AI into the events world. But it's not necessarily saying, we're going to use this AI tool for this event. It does depend on the design of the event, whether or not we're using AI tools, so to say.
Right. I really like that idea of wearables. I never even thought about something that you could wear.
It was really cool because I got to test it out at IMEX, which is the International Meetings and Events Expo. It's the biggest U.S. show for meetings and events in Vegas last October. So the gentleman, their startup, you know, young kids, and they were like, hey, you want to try this out? And I was just wearing it, testing it. And then like, it would, like I could press it. Obviously I asked people, can I record you when we have the conversation?
Sure.
And I don't know what Vegas's rules are, but like, you know, obviously make sure you're doing it the legal way.
Yeah.
And it would record our conversation in person. And I'm not focused on really like taking notes or like, oh, that's a really important point. I'm really present with them in person. And that's kind of all my vision of like how AI will help us be better people, be more present in our lives and not be so overwhelmed with all the devices and, oh, I need to take notes. Oh, my phone's going off and all that. So it was pretty cool. And I believe it's the future of our, how we interact. And so I'm trying to embrace it as much as possible so that I can teach other people to embrace it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look that up because there's many times where, you know, even in a friendship gathering where we're talking about things we're passionate about and, you know, that's content, you know, because when you're passionate and you're just having the conversation, those are the best takes or the best clips. And yet you miss it because you can't remember exactly how you said it. So that's really cool. I like that a lot. I live in Nevada, so I'm in Henderson right outside of Las Vegas. So that's why I smiled. I believe we're a single party. What do you call that? Consent. Thank you. However, I do still agree with double, like just ask the person because you don't ever know, and that's important. So I would love to know how and why you started to embrace this idea of AI when majority of people, I feel like it's split, you know, you're either all in or you're all out. And then you have like that small few that are like just testing the water. So what made you dive into it?
Yeah. So this goes back to, you know, one of my main reasons why I'm in tech. I feel like I'm at that age group where we had the ability to like disconnect from it. Grew up with the playing outside and the lights. I mean, it's like the cliche, like childhood, how it's different now. But I always felt like I'm at the forefront of like new things. Like I was working at a web design company when we were talking about getting content on your page to help drive traffic. And that was like, you know, 15 years ago when people were like just barely setting up their Facebook page and saying, I don't need that. But now it's like, you have to have it. Like it's not, I mean, you don't have to. Well, I will say you don't have to, but like it could affect your online presence. And so when AI came out, you know, more like launched was like end of 2023. And this is me and my friends, you know, we're like plugged in with tech. You know, we see like when ChatGPT is going to be like the hottest thing. And that was way before people still haven't adopted it. And I want to be the human influence on AI. I don't know if that's even possible. But I know that me using it, I get one more comfortable with it, how it can benefit my life, but also how can I teach other people how it can and also be at the forefront of, is this an equitable thing that we're doing? And if you just shun it away and not like face it head on, like I feel like you're not going to be able to be part of like influence of the change, whether you're changing people's minds or like being part of regulations. Like, I don't know where those are at in terms of our country and stuff like that. But, you know, being plugged into that information is important. And that I think is why I stay connected to it.
Yeah.
And hopefully, and I live right now outside of Nashville, which is different from where I came from, which is San Diego and New York City. So I feel like it's also an accessibility thing. Like, why can't, like, there's like, our library is like one room, you know? And to me, it's like, oh, this is something that people need to learn about because it could help, you know, them be at similar levels that like these tech giant cities have. Right. So
for sure.
Yeah, it's something that I use every day pretty much.
Would you consider yourself like an early adopter of most tech?
Yeah. I have a Google phone, so I don't have an iPhone, but like I worked at Verizon Wireless when I was like in my 20s.
You're right.
So like having smartphones and just being like connected to the tech world, I wanna try something out to see if it can enhance my life, not overwhelm my life. And so, yeah, early adopter. I wish I had stock in Zoom before COVID, because I was using Zoom prior to COVID, you know? Yeah, it was interesting to like see how Zoom became like a verb during COVID. Oh, let's Zoom. And I'm
let's jump on a Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been Zooming like for years. So,
you know,
yeah,
that Skype really had the, I would say, the footprint and to mm-hmm. me, the infrastructure. And then they just, they yeah. couldn't deliver.
Yeah.
Which was wild like, to me. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think maybe people get discouraged because they're, you know, maybe people are not adopting it or people didn't adopt it the way that they intended it to be.
Yeah.
Setting up, you know, when you, this goes back to like some philosophy of business, like what is the purpose of your tool? Is it to gain lots of money and leave after, or are you trying to really help, you know, and what's your purpose for creating this tool? So I don't know the ins and outs of why they failed, but like it's Skype is like the old school WhatsApp because you can do that on WhatsApp now, right?
Yeah.
And it's now owned by Meta. So we could FaceTime, or I use the word FaceTime, but I don't
sure.
know. I don't know how yeah. to FaceTime. We could like video call and
right.
text around the world with Skype before, which now we can do with WhatsApp.
Right. Yeah, I like what you said there about like the reason why you started your business, because if mm-hmm. you started it for the purposes of enhancing, you would never really stop, you mm-hmm. know, and then maybe you would have been set up differently to have been able to embrace that huge change of mm-hmm. video conferencing when COVID hit, for sure.
Right.
So that's a good take. Thank you for that. Thank mm-hmm. you for that. So live streaming has become, I don't live stream because I'm hesitant. I am one of those people. I'm not yeah. a late adopter. I'm in the middle. It's safe.
Yeah.
But live streaming has become such a major part of events.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the rise of virtual events has, one, reshaped the future of in-person gatherings? And two, where do you see live streaming going from here?
Yeah, so my hot take is that I don't think that everything needs to be live. I think live streaming and just in general could be simulated live. So in my opinion, what we're doing now is simulated live because you're recording it. It's not going live, but like there will be, my guess, very minimal editing, right? So we're not doing this big production. We're having a live conversation. So in my head, the only thing is different is that you're not just pushing this out immediately, right? You're still prepping the same way. And so there's different ways of live streaming, because I say live, simulated live, like we're going to go, we're going to hit record, or we're going to, you know, and this doesn't stop. But in relation to your question about how it changes in-person gatherings, I don't like to think that you have to do live streaming / virtual events or in-person events. My thought behind all of this is people are, I guess, no longer just looking for one instant way to connect with people, and having accessibility for others to get information. So let's say, like I said, my small town, do they know about all this stuff that's going on in the society, like in tech? Like, no. So in my opinion, you have to have some virtual aspect, whether it's a podcast, webinar, community gathering, a meeting, anything. But then when you get in person, you're building upon those virtual assets or virtual things that you've done. And I think a lot of people think, well, I have to do one or the other. And yes, it might cost more, it might be more of your time, but when you're aligned with your purpose, it doesn't seem like it's overwhelming, right? Like imagine one day everyone that's on your podcast could get together in one location for a retreat or a workshop to share insight. Like to me, that's
huge.
Cool. You're building something. It's not, okay, I'm just doing my online podcast. I'm doing in-person things too. And I think because we're so overwhelmed with so much tech, we have to really figure out, okay, like what is really going to serve my purpose?
Right.
And maybe I just do a virtual for now to build it up.
Right.
Or to share it with the local community. Right.
Yeah.
And then we do in person. Or I just do in person How many times are you at an in-person event and you're like, oh man, I want you on my podcast, or I want to talk about this. If, like, you want to come on my podcast. Like, I feel like you said earlier, when we were talking before, when you get together with friends, it's like, man, like, we need to share this.
Yeah.
You know, this is like something we need to make sure that other people know about. And that's because you're aligned with what's your purpose, right?
Correct.
What is your purpose in life? So,
yeah, I attend this event. It's a very spiritual event.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, we volunteer, my wife and I, and for the first time, they're doing, it's always been an in-person event, but he added, I don't even know if it's a revenue stream or just an added feature of live streaming. And mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, how cool is that? That one, you get to obviously show up in person, but for the people who can't, you know, right. to get a dose of this, and it's to your point, just being aligned with your purpose. And his purpose mm-hmm. is to reach as many people as possible
right.
with the message. And so, mm-hmm. you know.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Nothing will stop you if that's, you know,
right,
the outcome that you're looking for. So I align with what you said very much, and it's given me some things to think about.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when it comes down to like why people want to choose to do that or whatever, I think a lot of times they think immediately, what's my return on investment?
Every time.
And I get that. I'm a business person. I understand. But if you think about, one of my friends said this, and it's been sticking with me for like months, return on impact.
Oof.
What is your impact if you reach one more person? Right? Like, and that could be someone watching your live stream. Like, you might not have thousands of people. I mean, Tony Robbins has tons of people live stream, but Tony Robbins was big before all of the live
Correct.
Streaming, right? It wasn't
Correct.
Like he just, ooh, I'm going to turn on my camera and all of a sudden I'm viral. Like, it's, and I think people are comparing
yes.
him or, you know, any other live streamer or big personality to that. And it's like, you have like 20, like you're comparing someone's chapter 40 to like chapter 2, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, return on impact. It's going to stick with mm-hmm. me too.
Yeah, it's
Thank
a good
your
one.
Friend and for all of us.
I will. Yeah.
I think it's really cool that you're in a small town, the borough, right?
Yeah.
Is that
outside,
what that?
Yeah.
Just outside.
Yeah.
How do you
The borough help? Is the big city and it's the like the suburb of Nashville. And yeah, my town is like 2 stoplights and like 1,700 people. And like, yeah.
Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm in a new community, so like
okay.
we're still getting integrated into
sure.
like people have been here, but yeah, it's
cool. And how
we
do
just
you
got
help?
A coffee shop.
Hey,
like, oh.
listen, that's
where you meet
for
people.
Us millennials. That's huge.
Right.
That's huge.
Yes.
The coffee
yes.
shop means we're innovating.
Yes, exactly.
How do you help them? How do you lead them in this tech thing? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we know about small towns is that they're a little apprehensive or,
mm-hmm.
you know, afraid really is what it is of
mm-hmm.
tech. So how do you lead them and how do you help them embrace it?
Yeah. So I have done a few talks, or I had a podcast once in Murfreesboro, which is the 30 minutes from me, which is my town that I'm
yeah.
really active in. The one way that I allow them, well, one, I show them, right?
Yeah.
So we talk, our conversations are about tech sometimes, about new tools. I've delivered an AI workshop to kind of simplify it in terms of prompting. And I think prompting is, you know, if you're using ChatGPT or any tool, the prompt is, it's really in the prompt.
Yeah.
And I think people are just like, well, this doesn't work for me, because they're not putting in what they want. It's anything, right? Like you put in, like if you put in enough, then you're going to get enough. And so it's the same with a tool, right? If you're not utilizing it or learning how to do it, then it's not going to be of value of you. And unfortunately, I think, you know, in the next generation of workforce, like it's integrated into a lot of things now. And if you're not embracing it, like you might be left behind. And I don't want to see that.
Yeah. With,
you know, I'm not new in the workforce, but like if my age group doesn't embrace it, they're going to be left behind in 10, 15 years. Yeah. So it's almost like, let's get on board. Like when I was saying 10 years ago, you need a Facebook page and now everyone has it. I'm like, oh, you should just listen to me. No, I'm just kidding.
And you're not wrong, right? And
yeah,
it's so funny because I too am a millennial. And so, you know, we were really early adopters early on, and I see us becoming sort of like our parents as new things come out. Because you said, you know, it's all in the prompt, and I use ChatGPT all the time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I got really good at searching in Google, right? Because Google search is a skill, you know?
Right.
If you don't search correctly, you're going to get a crap answer. Like, let's keep it real.
Yes, exactly.
And now I have to learn ChatGPT prompts. And I'm like, God, do I really want to learn this? But you're right. Like, if you want it, if you want to leverage it the way it's set to be leveraged, yes. The answer is yes. You're going to have to learn it. You know, so I would love if you could give us at the end of this, or maybe just a link to helping people like us embrace the prompt. I would love that for sure.
Yes, sure.
For sure. So let's talk about the 100 live streaming and digital media prediction series. What is that? Is that your podcast? And can you share some prediction or trends from that?
Yeah. So I believe my prediction this year is about AI, which is interesting because I'll tell you the backstory. So it's curated by a longtime live streaming and digital media curator. His name is Ross Brand. And he is genius in creating this book because he's crowdsourcing. Basically, he's got 100 of us, 100 plus of us that ask, you know, what's your prediction for next year? He asked us in October for the next year. So we're like these like Miss Cleo, like, and I know only certain people will understand Miss Cleo. Hopefully.
Tell me now.
Yeah. Yes. It's, you know, we have to think, okay, what do we see as the trend? Right. And then we submit our prediction. And then it goes in, you know, like through his approval process. And then in mid-January is when it's released. So we're, you know, kind of thinking, okay, what's our pulse on the community at large? What do we see as a trend? What is our prediction? Last year, my prediction was about micro events. So like smaller events. So not your 2,000 person event. It's more so like, let's do a retreat for 20 people. And let's be really intentional. And like, I think that I'm pretty sure that that's actually happening.
Yeah.
And this year it was about utilizing AI to integrate and be more, you know, more present. So it's kind of like, I mean, it's just being plugged in, right? If you are using any type of internet and you're trying to, not internet, social media platform like Facebook, LinkedIn, you're plugged into the conversations that are happening. And what's trending, what people are doing, you can kind of analyze what's going on and know what to say in this sense. Or, you know, if you have your own business like myself, you kind of know how to guide people.
Yeah.
What's next? You know, when the Instagram layout changed, we heard about that in August of last year, and then it finally changed. So it's kind of like, okay. But how do you get that message out? With all that information, it's tough.
It's
like,
a lot.
For me, it's like, okay, how can I share this with all my network
that
utilizes social media for their business, or they want to, you know, leave their corporate job and start anew? That's the toughest part, because I feel like we all are a wealth of information, and how do we get that to people?
Yeah, it is a lot of information. And if you're not into like super tech, like I'm not, it can be a little overwhelming because it's always changing, mm-hmm. you know, and like staying up to date. And then you get like scatterbrained, right? Because what's important to me? What do I focus on? Mm-hmm. What's going to move the needle, which is all what business owners want to do is move the needle. Mm-hmm. What's your recommendation to someone like me who is a little scatterbrained with all the changes that are happening? And mm-hmm. do I stay true to myself in social media? Because if that's true, then I don't do social media, but I need it for my business, you know?
Right.
So what's your recommendation to like a business owner like myself?
I think first and foremost, stay true to yourself. That's super important. If you don't feel that you need to share or you need to, no one needs to do anything, right?
Correct.
And if you, going back to the purpose, like what is the purpose of your business? Like, do you feel that you can impact one person by having a podcast? Like, is this your way of being social? Yeah, this is a way. A lot of people like just shut it off. Well, like, I don't need Facebook. I just deleted my Facebook app last night because I felt like I was doom scrolling and I'm just not, it doesn't align with my purpose. It's a waste of time. And I was spending maybe like 30, I don't have notifications on. I was spending like 30 minutes a day, but still that's 30 minutes a day that pulls me away from what's true to me.
Sure.
So I think finding ways to connect in different like format. So like I have a book club that I'm part of. We get on Zoom and we talk about the book, but we also talk about what's up in the industry, right? So that's a way to connect, find the community that's gonna be open to you. As far as getting overwhelmed with stuff, again, think about your purpose. Like what is this going to serve my end game, or do I need to create time to explore if it does? Right. I think a lot of people like immediately they'll think, okay, no, that doesn't align with me. I'm not even going to look at it.
Right.
But what are you shutting out by doing that? So I create like for the past like year and a half, maybe even more, I didn't count on Fridays. If I'm not like busy in the middle of the week where I'm like offline, like at a on-site event or something where I'm like completely offline, I'll use Fridays as my like self days. So like that's like exploring a new tool or like getting out and about and like going to a coffee shop to talk to people just to get that human connection.
Right.
And I don't really schedule meetings on Friday because I want them to be open to whatever happens. Right. Like if
that.
I'm going to go and open up Canva and play around and be creative and learn it more than I already know, then great. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm giving myself permission to take those days and that time.
So yeah, that feels a lot like flow, which is which is really nice. I like that advice. Yeah, because you have everyone coming at you in social media telling you how to gain more clients and how you should be doing it. And it's just, again, it's just so much information and you don't know what the right approach is. And you're right. If you're not true to yourself, then you're just going to continue doing the same thing, even though you don't love it.
Right.
And to your point, it's a dance, right? Because you do have to like give yourself time to explore it, to know that this is in fact something you don't want to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can't just say no just because, you know, like no, right? If you don't know anything about it. So I like that. I like that a lot.
And I think it goes to like, you know, this like us being millennials, we are so used to just instant answers and responses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, slow down. Like, we don't need to respond right away. And like, I'm contemplating going to Vegas again in April for an industry event. And I'm like, I get like 3 days away. I have an event 2 weeks after that. I'm putting up all these roadblocks. But you know, I went and I was like, okay, whatever. I'm going to fill out the application and I'm going to go and it's all good. And then there was an error with the application. Like it wouldn't submit. And I was like, what is this? Why is this like another barrier for me to complete this? And then I was like, okay, I'll email them. There's an issue. And then she said, okay, we'll fill this all. I was like, I just filled it out online and now I have to write it. And I'm like, oh man. So I'm just like, I'm going to take some time to really think about whether, and it's just all the signs are like, no, don't go, don't go. Right. And I think if I would have been like, oh my God, I have to fix this. I'm going to reply right now. I need to be accepted to like go to this industry event. It's like, you know, I'll explain later, but it's like you have to apply to, and then you get approved. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think people just assume that we need like a response right away when that isn't realistic. I mean, I'm taking time away from my husband, my dogs, and like the routine changes. And how much stress is that going to put on me for the event that comes after that, 2 weeks after that? Like, should I be going away?
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. The idea that you need to be approved and you need to apply never sits right with me, right? Because it just puts people in a fight or flight kind of mindset, really. Mm-hmm. And then they lose focus on, to your point, they lose focus on the event and they focus more on, will I be accepted? And who do I need to be accepted? And again, even that not being true to yourself, just so you can be accepted, because being accepted is our fucking point in this life, right?
Right.
Or so we think, you know, when truly it is accepting yourself,
right?
You know, and I can see how like I would have gone straight into like fight or flight with that. Fill this out absolutely right now, because if one more person gets accepted before I do, or what if there's no more room and I'm late, and as if those are real things.
Right. Exactly.
You know, as if those are real things.
That's created. That was created. Like, you're right. It's a story. Like, oh, I need to get this application in because what if, and she didn't give me a time frame.
Right.
She's just following up. Right.
Right.
And like, I'm like, why do I feel rushed to fill this out? You know, I'm like, what's the, like, if I don't go, I don't go. Like, it's okay. Maybe I miss out on, you know, meeting a person that's going to change, but I don't believe that,
because
I believe we meet everyone that we're supposed to meet.
Amen to that.
Whether it's now or when we're ready for it, or when we're ready to receive it.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, I align with that a lot. You know, I don't like the scarcity tactics, you know, and not to say that this is not that. It just brought up, it obviously triggered me into a whole different, you know, aspect of just like scarcity marketing. And I don't like you either want what I'm offering or you don't. I'm not going to trick you. I'm not going to, you know, I genuinely like believe in my offer and believe it can help you if you think it could help you. If not, that's okay too, you know?
Right.
So yeah, thank you for that. That just took me on a tangent. But so what challenges and opportunities have you encountered in one, being a woman in tech, which I don't love to talk about because I don't believe it's a thing, but it is a thing. I know it is. More importantly, the events and how people embrace tech at events.
Yeah. Two really a little bit different but aligned questions. And what I think about this is it's anything, being a leader or, you know, if you're confident in what you're doing, the right people will hear you, the right people will accept you. So also being a voice, like, and that comes from personal development. It's not necessarily saying I completed this online course and I completed, you know, I know how to do this and I got this masterclass done. Like that, those are just like, you know, awards, they're great, but like that doesn't contribute to necessarily like what's in your heart and what you believe, right? So if I believe that I belong in that room and in that conversation, then I'm going to be in that room and that conversation. And if and it's like I get chills when I talk about it, because people are just like, how do you do it? And I was like, well, it's work. Like, I've practiced to work on myself, right? Like, it's an everyday thing. It's not like I'm just going to take this course and now I'm good. Like, no, like I've been working on it for years, right? And that, you know, just factors into everything in my life, you know, and tech, being in tech is, you know, it's a little bit different, because I had this conversation last night at our board meeting, like, why are we focusing on marketing? And I was like, marketing is part of tech. Everything is done on on our computers and online on Canva. You know, tech isn't just hardware anymore. Software is a huge part of tech.
Yes.
And I think it was, I was like, they were a little taken back because I was like, yeah, just because I don't know like the ins and outs of like setting up a server, like doesn't mean that I'm not a tech person. Like it's integrated into our society so much that, you know, we have to embrace it and not, and bring feminine energy, women hormones, organization, you know, lots of positives of, you know, of that can really help in tech, because it's, I feel like it'd be a softer approach than this is technology and this is, you know, right. That's all that, you know, it's just hardware.
Yeah.
So that's one thing as far as women in tech, and then tech at events. You'll be surprised that I just don't use my phone much at all at events. I try to be fully present because there's tech tools there to allow us to free up time and be more present. So I think it's not like, oh, I'm going to go there. I'd love to learn about new tech tools. I love to talk, you know, meet the people with the wearables and stuff like that. But if I'm not integrating tech into my personal and professional life in other ways, then I can't be fully present to learn about new tech. So, sometimes at events, I will set this intention for the day. It sounds really simple, but, you know, I want to meet two people, one in an event tech and one in, you know, that's a peer of mine. Set that simple intention and I do it, right? And then you're fulfilled. You're setting your intention for the day. Anything else is a bonus, right? And I don't know a lot of people that have been to industry events in Vegas and then come back exhilarated. Like that's how I felt in October. It wasn't
that's
like,
cool.
Oh my God, I need like two more days to like recover from, I mean, who goes to Vegas and says, I'm refreshed, right? Like me. I did, you know, because I wasn't trying to do all the things.
Yeah.
And be
you were just
everywhere.
Being. Yeah, mm-hmm. You were just being. Mm-hmm. I love that. You have me embracing tech in a different way.
Yeah.
Already in this 30-minute conversation. So
yes,
I appreciate that. And I think to your point, we just need more of it. Like we just need to be open to having more transparent conversations about it. Mm-hmm. And if you're scared, that's okay. Right? Like, let's talk about it, right? And what are you scared of? And, you know, everyone's afraid that AI is going to take over. And, you know, I get it. You know, I too would love to be like a nomad and like live off the grid. And
yeah.
I really embrace how technology enhances my life.
Right, so, exactly.
So yeah, I get it. What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, as far as tech goes, it is, I like to think about it as a holistic thing. It's not just something that we, you know, think about, okay, like Friday morning when we have our off days, it's something that's integrated. So how we can integrate it into our life without feeling overwhelmed and without, you know, feeling like we have to respond. Like, I love when people like respond like to me and say like, sorry, I didn't get back to you. And I'm just like, what? Like, so I think I can bring my like Zen, I would say like Zen tech, my Zen view of like how to approach technology and bring that and like share that with the world, because I think that we have this idea that we have to get it done like right now and we have to rush to the next thing. For what? What's next? Right?
What's
like
next?
We don't know. And I think that goes along with my whole idea of being present. If we're embracing technology and utilizing it to connect with others, to learn about things, I feel like, you know, if we're doing ourselves a disservice, if we're not trying to embrace it in a way that can enrich our lives, whether it's this, you know, recording where you and I are connecting, or, you know, you're learning about something that is new to you, you know, that wasn't, it's not something that's exposed in your society and stuff like that, or in your community. And I think, you know, it's not necessarily about how many things you can get done in one day. It's how much time are you really spending with the ones who matter, like my dogs and my husband. And when I can go home, like my home is in San Diego. My parents' home is in San Diego. I went like 2 months ago, or a month ago, and I didn't bring my laptop. Like, who?
That's big.
Like me as a business owner did not bring my laptop for 4 days. Wow. Right. But guess what? Everything's on my phone if I really need it. Right. And I think this whole idea that we're like, okay, like we're embracing it, but like we don't have to be attached to it. So there has to be. Yeah. And I think I'm going to start saying this. It's balance is a myth.
Yes.
Because there isn't really a balance.
Not 50-50.
Right. It's alignment. So if you want to be all in on tech on Monday and that's your tech day, great. And then Tuesday, okay, I'm going to be disconnected. I'm going to focus on, you know, and, you know, whatever works for you, whatever makes you feel more comfortable. I think there's not a playbook for this. We don't have a playbook. How right. to use AI. We don't.
Yeah. It's we're making it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful final thought. Very beautiful. What is your current favorite AI tool to use and why?
Ooh, man, this is hard to answer because I would say I really like voice notes. Voice notes is not the voice note, like voice memo on your actual, like your native phone. It's a separate AI tool that records in person conversations. So the reason why I love that is I was at my family's reunion in the summer. And like we finished the reunion and then, you know, the smaller group went to my mom's cousin's house and they were talking about a story of my great grandfather, you know, sharing stories. And I was like, do you guys mind if I record this?
Yeah.
And now I have like this story from my family that like wasn't written down and maybe was like, you know, it's only in their brain because they lived it, but I didn't live it. And now I have this thing that like, I don't know what that turns into. It's stored in my phone, you know, but it's like this recollection of our past, right? Yeah. Utilizing AI, right? So it recorded the conversation and then the AI voice notes like summarizes it. And then it can also, you can send like, it generates an email based on like what you do or it generates a series of tweets. So like, it's real dope. Human conversations, but like kind of simplifying it into, but I love that. That's one tool that I like. And I also like Gamma, which is like give a, like an outline or a presentation mm-hmm. of your talk or, you know, if a meeting and hit generate and it creates a PowerPoint presentation in less than 3 minutes.
Gamma.
Yes. Gamma app. Yeah.
Dope. Definitely gonna look at the wearable. Those are, and that.
I think we are, you know, I'm very visual, so I would prefer to read like a presentation with like the bullet points and like, you know, it presents better in my opinion than like, here's a document, read this text of, you know, heading, bold, stuff like that. Those are harder to read, I feel like.
Right.
I'm more visual. So,
yeah, me
you
too.
Know, when you're presenting things, I think it's a cool tool to use.
That's very cool. Yeah. And we're going to add all of your contact info in the show notes, but where can people find you?
Yeah. So the best place to connect with me, I think if you're not super business focused, I would say Instagram. You can find me at hashtag Marissa. So spell that out. Hashtag Marissa.
Cool.
M-A-R-I-S-A. And then on there, you'll also have my Substack, which is something that I'm trying to lean into, which is your personal blog. If you remember the days of Blogspot, it's kind of like that. And then if you're more business focused and you want to see more of the event side, I am on LinkedIn under Marissa Calley, and I'm the first one that shows up because I post a lot on there.
Cool. Marissa, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you for embracing tech the way you do and being aligned with it and bringing that alignment here for everyone to witness. I appreciate it very much. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Always. And that wraps up our episode of Leadership from the Heart, everybody. See you next time. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you found this episode useful, connect with Marissa. Obviously, she's a powerhouse and very zen at it. So connect with her. Free yourself from the fear of tech, and I will see you next time on Leadership from the Heart.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.